If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Patriot Studios. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bean and Michael B.
Folks, MS, well, it would help if I'd take myself off of mute. Welcome to Soldiers of Patriotism. This is Michael B., along with my brother from another mother, co-host Uncle Bing Fisher. It is Sunday. It is about 4 minutes or 3 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. The phone number is 718-305-7176. We've got a packed show today. We're going to start with Leah Weather. Leah is the Director of Development for the Lone Star Chapter of Multiple Sclerosis. Now, princes and princesses of patriotism, you might be asking, why am I deviating from politics, conservative thought, Tea Party thought, et cetera, and talking about multiple sclerosis? As many of you know, it has affected my family personally. My baby sister is affected with it. And we're going to talk about it today a little bit and try to get the word out about what MS is. How does it affect you? We're going to talk to Leah, and then we're going to bring my baby sister on. We're going to chat with her. So I'm going to go ahead and start by just letting my brother, Brother Bing, come on here real quick and say hi to everybody. Brother, you there? Brother Bing?
Yeah, I'm here.
All righty. Just wanted to say good afternoon to you. We got us a great show lined up.
Yeah, it looks good, man. I can't wait to get to it.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get Leah on here. Leah, you've got a live mic. Come on in here. How are you doing today?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. I'm going to try to keep myself together. I'm a big-hearted teddy bear, although a lot of people think I'm a mean person. But I do have a big heart, and especially where my baby sister is concerned, who is on the line with us, and we'll bring her in here shortly. Leah, I want to thank you on behalf of, on behalf of Conservative Nation Radio, our show, Soldiers of Patriotism, for coming on and giving us a little bit of your time this Sunday afternoon.
Start off
telling us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go from there.
Well, as you mentioned, I work here at the MS Society, and I have the pleasure of working on two of our signature events, our Walk MS and our Bike MS events that raise funds for our mission, which is basically to put MS out of business. So it's an opportunity that I'm happy to take today to share with your listeners about what we've got going on and a little bit about the MS Society in general.
Great. And for those of y'all that are not aware, you can go I'm going to drop the link in the chat room, nationalmssociety.org, and you can check for local walks and bike-a-thons in your area. This will be my third year to actually walk here at the Fort Worth Walk, Leah. Tell us a little bit about
Team Missy,
the walks.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, Team Missy.
You got to get that plug in there and encourage folks to join you. No, we actually have both of our events, Dallas and Fort Worth, coming up on March 2nd, and we're so excited about it. We're expecting about 5,700 walkers from around the Metroplex to join us and to really celebrate those folks that are living with MS and obviously help us with our fundraising initiatives. So, yeah, Dallas is going to be in Addison Park again this year, and then, of course, in Fort Worth and Trinity Park, as you well know.
Absolutely, which is a beautiful walk in early March. It's always fun. Liam, you know, and we need to talk about the walks and the bikes, the biking to raise money and, mm-hmm. and funds to help put MS out of business. And folks, by the way, y'all may recall Mrs. Romney suffers with MS. But real quickly, Leah, can you tell us, are you in a position to be able to just briefly explain to folks a little bit about MS? And my sister's going to be able to tell us a little bit more about living with it and whatnot. But can you just kind of give the audience a basic rundown? Because, I don't think MS is one of those diseases that's widely talked about. I mean, it doesn't have a ribbon mm-hmm. that I know of. It doesn't mm-hmm. get the national attention, et cetera, et cetera. And I know my mm-hmm. sister experienced a little bit of problem with it in the service as far as what others thought about it. So tell us a little bit about it, if you could, please.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, MS or multiple sclerosis, but the thing about it that I think it's hard for people to really understand is that it's just so predictable, you know, from one person to the next. But it's basically a disabling disease of the central nervous system, and it's obviously considered autoimmune. But what that means is it's interrupting the flow of information within the brain and between the brain and the body. So symptoms can range from person to person, anything from numbness and tingling all the way down to blindness and paralysis. So, you know, that's one of the things that the society is really working on is trying to figure out, you know, what's causing it to be so different for every person. So, you know, it's not one of those things where there's a checklist. I mean, everyone's symptoms are going to be different and can be wide-ranging. So I think that's why, you know, it's really hard to put a face out there that's going to be consistent because everybody's struggle is different. But what we do know, you know, is that most people with MS are diagnosed between the ages of 20 and 50, so really right in the prime of life, with, you know, three times as many women being diagnosed with the disease more so than men. So we're making a lot of – we're learning to understand the disease a little bit better because, like I said, you know, 20 years ago there was nothing that we could do to treat MS, but – you know, we're really starting to understand it better, and because of that, being able to really attack it in a very aggressive way.
You know, and I know, Leah, from personal, and being jump in whenever you can. I know I kind of dropped this on being at the last minute, so he's probably a little surprised at his partner. But, you know, I know.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. I know, Leah, from listening to my sister or my mom tell me about my sister when my sister and I chat and whatnot. Or my brother-in-law, James Floor, who really has picked up the ball. You couldn't be more proud of a brother-in-law for taking the bull by the horns, so to speak, in this case. You know, my sister's career was wrecked and ruined by this disease. She was bucking major in the U.S. Air Force. She's got her master's in nursing, and she's working on her Ph.D. and had a bright future ahead of her. I had always promised her when they pinned those birds on her collar that I would fly wherever I had to fly to be there for that. And she ultimately ended up, you know, losing her career to this debilitating disease. But where I'm going with this, Leah, is it seems to me, and I could be wrong, please correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems as though the medications that are being used right now are kind of in the experimental stage. I know my sister has had tried a lot of different medications and you know, to my horror and to my family's horror, some of the medication, I don't know if it just adversely affected her or what, and I don't want to go into private details. I'm not at liberty to do that, but there were some scary times there, and I'm not a doctor and wouldn't pretend to be, but you know, the only thing I could think of is, well, damn, was it the medication? And is it because it's still in an experimental stage, or can you enlighten us a little bit on that?
Well, I can. And, you know, the interesting part about it, Michael, is, you know, I think it's interesting that in our lifetimes, you know, bee sting therapy was actually a common practice as far as treatment for MS. But I'm really proud of the work that the medical community has done, actually, because, you know, just this year alone, we now have 9 disease-modifying therapies that are out on the market. That being said, less than 20 years ago, so less than 2 decades ago, there was absolutely nothing that was proven to modify and in some cases stop disease progression. You know, a lot of times, you know, the earlier days was spent with injectables and things of that nature, which is still kind of a common form of treatment. But, you know, in the last year or two, we've actually put out some oral disease-modifying therapies that have actually done really well. But the point is that as time goes by, as the longer that these drugs are out, we know more about them. We know how they work. We know who's going to respond well to them. But the good thing is that, you know, in the last 2 decades, if a therapy is not working, we now have options. You know, 9 of them now for folks that are living with relapsing and remitting MS. So that's a good thing. I mean, that's a really good thing if you think about it, to go from nothing to now 9. And to have those options to know that if one's not working or if it doesn't fit a person's lifestyle, that there's others that they can try. So to me, that is progress. We're learning more, like I said, every single day. And we've actually got 6 more that are in front of the FDA. So that's a good place to be, especially
Absolutely.
In such a short amount of time.
And to get this accomplished and to get it done, it requires folks to I mean, I don't know. I've not looked at whatever federal funding there may or may not be. And but for the most part, by and large, the revenue for the research and to help folks living, because I happen to work in a place that's right across the street where there is I don't want to call it a clinic, but where folks go and work with people that have exercise equipment and stuff like that. I can't think of the
rehabilitation.
But most of those dollars come from folks like us that go and walk and bike and raise money and form teams and do what we can to help find the money to help the research for this in this particular case. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. You know, and I think that's why I love what I do every single day, is that we get to see people that may or may not be affected by MS, a loved one, or maybe they don't know anybody that's been affected by MS. But that's really the beauty about these signature events of the MS Society, and in particular, Walk MS. It really has become the rallying point for our MS movement. And, you know, I think it's interesting because, you know, we kind of have our tagline there, which is be inspired, get connected. And recently we added a third point to that, which is raise funds, because that's the most important thing. I mean, everything that our organization is doing, whether that's, you know, financial assistance or wellness and exercise activities, educational and employment resources, whatever that looks like, in addition to that research, is being funded by people like your listeners and people that are coming out and walking and doing something about MS. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're writing $1,000 checks, although we would certainly encourage that. But change is being made, you know, $10 and $15 at a time. And I think that that's the amazing thing about the Walk program, is that we've got a community of people coming together and doing what they can to make a really big impact on, you know, the 56,000 Texans, actually, that are impacted by MS. So that's what I'm saying. We're so excited. Everyone here on staff and on our team is just really excited to be able to do that and to provide that experience for people living with MS and their families on March 2nd.
Absolutely. And this is Soldiers of Patriotism. We're speaking with Flea Rather. Yeah. She is the Director of Development for the Lone Star Chapter of Multiple Sclerosis Foundation. Now, there is the national, you're at the state level, there, which falls underneath the national MSSociety.org. Is that correct,
mm-hmm.
Leah?
Yeah, we, the National MS Society is obviously a national nonprofit. I service our North Texas area here with our development programs and development initiatives. So raising the money to continue the work that our national organization is doing.
Absolutely. And what Leah does here in Texas with the walks and the bikes and whatnot is duplicated across all 50 states. So all you have to do is go to nationalms.org and go to the tab for walk or bike, and you can find where walks. And Leah, I got to tell you, this will be my third year. Not only am I raising money on behalf of MS and in the attempt to help my little sister, but it's good family I mean, me and the family go, and it's a family fun event.
It really, you know, it really is. There's so many options that morning, and, you know, it really is designed so that everyone can come and enjoy that experience. We have families that are bringing dogs and pushing strollers and pulling wagons and those types of things. But, you know, we also have committed corporate partners that have done tremendous amounts to move our mission forward and to raise those funds as well. So it's great for everyone, friends, family, corporate teams. Just everyone can come out and enjoy that evening, that event, that morning.
Absolutely. Well, I know, Leah, that we only have you for one segment. So real quickly, I'd like to get Brother Bing in here and see if he's got a question for you. And then I'd like to bring – we're going to hold my sister over for the next segment and talk to someone who happens to be my little sister that lives with multiple sclerosis. But I want to bring her in and give her an opportunity to chime in with you on the phone. But first, Brother Bing, do you have anything for Leah?
Yeah, I mean, I what I would like to know is, like, this disease seems like in some instances it just kind of creeps up on people. And are there any like things that people can recognize in others, loved ones, and so on, where they might see this disease come in?
Yeah, you know, and that's what I was talking about a little bit earlier. I mean, everyone's symptoms and the way that MS appears is so different. I mean, it really varies from person to person. I think that's, you know, that one of the things that we're learning is that's why the diagnosis of MS is so difficult for neurologists and other healthcare providers to actually diagnose and to give it a name, because it looks so different from person to person. So, you know, I think it's one of those situations where in talking with so many people that have been diagnosed, I haven't really heard too many stories of the symptoms seeming similar, because it can appear in so many different ways. And I think, you know, part of that is just the disease itself. I mean, it's an autoimmune disease that's attacking myelin, which is the coating on the nerves. And as you guys know, we have nerves running all over our body. So depending on where that attack is being done, that really is going to be representative of the symptoms that a person would encounter. So like I mentioned to you guys earlier, I mean, that's the difficult part about MS, is that it could be vision problems, it could be cognitive thought issues, it could be, you know, loss of feeling in a limb. It can be a lot of different things, and so it's not a one-size-fits-all type thing, and I think that's where we've had trouble over the years, really getting a lot of folks diagnosed quickly anyway. So now, you know, with the advancements in the work that we're doing in that particular field, our hope is that my personal belief is that there's probably lots of folks out there living with MS that don't know it. And so that hopefully as we continue to work and collaborate with our neurologist friends and do that research, that we're going to be able to diagnose people faster and more effectively than we have in the past. Because we know, I mean, that getting these folks on disease-modifying therapies is really the key to that great quality of life that we want everyone to have. So that's a huge initiative for us moving forward, and I think we're going to continue to hear a lot about that as we move forward in the next several years.
Awesome.
Well,
Leah.
Let's get those links out there, Michael and Leah.
Yes, I'm working on that. In fact, I just dropped one actually to a YouTube video that I produced. That I'm fixing to we're going to discuss here shortly. But Leah, real quickly, and I want to thank you for joining us. I know you've only got you're busy and you're doing a 15. We're running a little bit long today, but I just real quickly before you go, I'd like to bring in my little sister, Melissa Floor, who's now medically retired from the U.S. Air Force. Melissa, do you have anything from Leah for Leah before she has to run, and then we'd like to chat with you a little bit.
I don't actually have anything for Leah, but
well, maybe
does
Leah,
have
you
any
got...
question for me?
I'm sorry.
Do you have any? I was asking if you have any questions for me, because I can't really think of any questions that I might have for you.
No, I just, you know, more than anything, I just want to thank everybody for giving us this opportunity and this platform to share the work that we're doing. And I have to tell you, Melissa, as a person that's living with MS myself, I really appreciate all that you and your family are doing and the funds that you're raising to help us both and the folks that I'm able to serve on a daily basis. So no questions, just gratitude. I really do appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate all that the MS Society is doing as well.
Well, Leah,
good. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on March 2nd.
Yes.
It's going to be a good time.
We will find you. We will hunt you down. My sister's actually going to be, and her family's going to be walking with us for the first time this year. So we will hunt you down. Leah, Bing and I, and Soldiers of Patriotism and Conservative Nation Radio and TraditionalAmericanMovement.com, our partner, are at your disposal anytime. I'll drop another email to Colleen or to you or get it to you somehow. We'd like to be at y'all's disposal anytime. Moving forward, I know this was kind of last minute, but we're going to work on developing some PSAs to play during all of our shows. We do about 8,000 to 10,000 listeners a month, so we can get the word out.
Well, I appreciate it. That's what it's all about. We're creating a movement, and I appreciate you helping us do that. And you better find me on March 2nd, and you better be wearing orange, too, as you turn in lots and lots of funds, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, you heard that.
One last thing. These walks go out throughout the whole country, right?
They do, yeah. It's a signature event for the organization. So every one of our offices across the country hosts Walk MS and Bike MS events. So there's going to be one near you, regardless of where you are.
I'm in Tennessee, so I don't know about I'm in the sticks unless they want to walk in my backyard, but that's they're free to do that, man. I'm into it. But thank
well,
you
good,
so much.
Yeah. I appreciate it. You guys have a happy Sunday, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the 2nd.
Thank you very much, Leah. You have a great day. Brother Bing, that was an interesting conversation. This is a cause that I have personal reasons for believing in. We're fixing to bring my little sister on here and speak to her because she actually lives with multiple sclerosis. So we're going to ask her some questions and probe her brain a little bit. But before we do that, and I know that Duke, our program director, is listening to us, and he's already threatened me with Huntsville if we deviated from the schedule. We've already run a little long. So since we've already went a little long and I'm already in trouble, I dropped a link to a YouTube video that I did in the chat room. I'm going to play that song now, and then we're going to bring my sister on, and we're going to chat with her a little bit. Okay, so folks, you might want to pipe up that YouTube video. This was started off as something I did for her, actually for her birthday a few years ago, but then after the revelation of MS came along, I modified it and changed it up a little bit and have made it what it is that you will see now. So this is for my baby sister.
Enjoy.
Here I am again, overwhelming again, thousand miles away from the Russian home. Part of me is here. Thoughts of what we were in faith. The miles that stand between can't separate. No. You're all I hoped you'd become. Sister, I see you dancing on the stage of memories. Sister, I miss you reaching visits past, still there satisfied. Reminders of our next overshadow good by the flames burn as one. Sister, I see you dancing on the stage of memory. Sister, I miss you. All I am.
Well, BTR is really messing that up, and I just can't deal with that. But you've all got the YouTube link. Please give it a listen, and if you've got a few dimes extra in your pocket, hit up Team Missy. We've got our walk coming up. Brother Bing, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, bro.
All right, well, let's go ahead and bring in, I'd like to introduce, full disclosure here, this is my little sister, and I don't mean as I refer to a lot of folks as brother and sister in the causes that we fight for. This is my blood little sister. So, Melissa Floor, come on in here. How you doing, sis?
I'm good.
You sound okay today?
Yeah, I'm doing better today.
Well, that's a good thing. So, sis, you know, I've talked about you a lot. You don't hear it, but folks that listen, they know. They know how I feel about you and the importance that you play in my life. And they know that you have MS. So tell us a little bit. You know, I've told everybody you were a captain in the medical or in the nursing corps in the U.S. Air Force, bucking major. I was hoping to be there when they pinned your colonel wings on you. But unfortunately, turn of events changed things, and you're now medically retired from the Air Force in your home, dealing with this with your children and your husband, James, my brother-in-law. And tell us a little bit, sis, if you would, if you're comfortable doing so, about, first of all, first finding out about it. And I know I don't really want to go into details as to particular people, but insofar as in our conversations we'd had, people are like, kind of leery about this whole MS thing. Tell us a little bit about that. And then living with MS, the day-to-day struggles, the medications that you have to take, and some of those things. Could you do that, sis?
Sure. The symptoms first started, and I started seeing the doctors, the military doctors, to find out what was wrong with me. I basically got told that it was all in my head, and truthfully, it sounds kind of funny, but it's true because it really is all in your head. But I was told in literal terms that I was just depressed and that there was nothing really wrong with me. And I needed to, I needed to just exercise more and change my diet and use the base gym facilities. And then, you know, all my problems would be solved. For every symptom that I had, there was an excuse that, well, your shirt's too tight, or you need to get more exercise, or have you ever heard the term that depression hurts? Well, you're just depressed, and sometimes depression hurts, and that's why you're feeling that way. So, but I'm very persistent, as my brother knows. I'm very persistent and believe that you have to advocate for yourself. So I kept pushing to find out what was going on and what was wrong, and finally ended up seeing a civilian neurologist off base who did the further testing and told us in March 2011 that I had MS. And that was quite a shock, because I knew with the diagnosis that would probably mean that my career in the Air Force would be over, and there was not going to be a major colonel in my future. So the military held out as long as they could to send my paperwork to the medical board. But as the months went by, my symptoms became worse, and living day to day became harder and harder, to the point that I was having to use a walker. I was not able to get myself dressed on a daily basis. My husband would have to help me do simple things like get my socks on or get my shoes on my feet and tie my shoes for me, because I was not able to do those things. The military, I worked in a hospital, and November of 2011, they put me at home on bed rest, essentially, for the remainder of my time in the service. So from November of 2011 until June of 2012, I stayed at home every day with my husband taking care of me, waiting for the military medical board to make a decision about whether I was going to have a career or whether I would be medically retired. And as you all know, I've been medically retired, and we've since come back to Fort Worth. I've tried all of the current medications that are out there that are injectable. I have not tried the two oral medications because I have contraindications for not being able to take those drugs. So I'm on a kind of a holdover medication right now until the FDA releases a new drug at the end of April, we're hoping. And so what I'm taking now is 4 days a month. I get a IV infusion of a human plasma type medication. My symptoms have gotten better to some degree. I'm not having to use my walker right now, but I still have this past week's a good example where just overcome by fatigue to the point that just even sitting up, I fall asleep just even sitting up on a chair. I just can't keep my head up, and so I end up sleeping a lot and sleeping my days away and missing out on time with my family because the fatigue is it's, you know, when somebody says to you, I'm tired, well, I am tired, but it goes beyond just the normal being tired because you've worked all day. It's literally a fatigue that you just can't keep your eyes open anymore. You just have to lay down. And my husband knows too well. He's had to really bear the brunt of all of this. He's been my caretaker and the caretaker of our children and had to really become everything because of my inability to do the things that I used to do.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, you know what, sis? We're up against a hard break here. If you'll stand by 1 second, we're going to come out, and I'm sure Bing's probably got a question for you, and we'll chat a little bit more. So hang tight, okay? Bing,
okay.
You got a live read for us real quick?
Yeah, I did about 12 minutes ago, but that's I'm not going in trouble.
Well, I know the Duke's going to be mad at me.
Oh, that's okay. But I was going to just tell everybody, and Michael, sis, thank you for being on. But if you're all you secret members of the Joe McCarthy fan club, join Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, for Radio Free America. Duke lists anti-communist among his hobbies. Pretty nice hobby to have there, which is probably why NBC didn't hire him to fly a national network news helicopter. But if you love history, politics, flying, and occasional Whitaker Chambers reference, check out Duke Brooks on Radio Free America, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
All right, we'll be back in about 1 minute, folks. Stand by.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good Sunday afternoon to you, princes and princesses of patriotism. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B., along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing, in Tennessee. We just got through talking with Leah Weather, who is the Director of Development for the Lone Star Chapter of Multiple Sclerosis. We are now chatting with my baby sister, Captain Melissa Floor, retired from the Air Force, nurse, who lives with multiple sclerosis. And the reason that I walk these multiple sclerosis walks and raise money and ask people for money is because I walk for her. And she'll be joining me this year. In fact, in two Saturdays, I'll be doing my third. It'll be her first, and I'm real excited about that. Being we've got her on the air with us. By the way, folks, the phone number is 718-305-7176. The phone lines are stacking up. Sis, we've got some folks on hold. They may want to say hi to you. Who knows? But we're going to start off with Bing. Bing, you got anything for Melissa?
No, it's a terrible disease. And what she was trying to say, I think, earlier, you know, is it just doesn't affect the person that has it. You know, it also affects, you know, your family and so on, you know, because people, you know, have to cover up and cover your back and take care of you. And I've known a couple of people that had it, and some days it seems like they have very good days, and some days they just don't. So I don't know. Do you have days like that? I mean,
I do. I have days that are good days, and then I have days that are really bad days.
Well, I don't know if you would call them good days, but I guess they're better than the bad days.
They're better. Yeah, I think what my husband told my neurologist was, she has bad days, and then she has worse days. But I never have good days.
so other than some of the techniques and drugs and so on that they're doing, I mean, is there any? I mean, what kind of promise do you see on the horizon for this? And what can people do, you know, as an individual, as just regular people, to really get behind this and help out?
Well, for me, my best hope is the release of a new medication at the end of April called BG12. And this is supposed to be the new gold standard for treatment of MS. And it's important to know that the medications that they're using to treat MS, they don't treat the symptoms of MS. They're solely meant to slow the progression of the disease. So for everybody that gives themselves a shot every day or every other day or the one that is once a week or is now taking the oral medications that are available, those medications, they don't treat things like spastic muscles that tighten up and are painful or the fatigue or the inability to walk or the loss of vision. All those drugs do are there to hopefully slow the progression of the disease. And with the new medication that's supposed to be coming out, they're saying that this is the best medication ever in terms of treating the progression of the disease, whereas the other medications only slow the disease down by about 30%. The new drugs coming out, especially the one coming out at the end of April, is supposed to slow the progression down by 70%. So they're very hopeful. They're putting a lot of stock in this medication. I'm putting a lot of stock in this medication because I'm allergic to the other medications that are available currently. They're currently on the market. I'm allergic to those and unable to take them.
And sis,
do you know who makes that medication, Michael? If I'm can interject,
Melissa would. Melissa's medical. I wouldn't have a clue on that, brother. Sis,
there's various companies that make the medications, and it's important to know this is not a cheap disease. For lack of better terms, this is a rich person's disease. The medications are unbelievably expensive. The new medication coming out at the end of April, they're estimating, is going to cost anywhere between $30,000 and $50,000 a year per person to take that medication. The one I'm currently taking is $19,000 a month. So if you don't have insurance and the drug company doesn't have an assistance program, then people can't afford to get those medications. I will say most of the companies are very good at providing assistance to people that don't have insurance and or don't have the money for the disease medication. People have to know that that's available, and that word's not getting out there.
Well, you know, sis, you were talking about being allergic to some of the other medications, and I don't want to go into our private family things that we've dealt with, but to what degree you can elaborate, because we've seen some things, and I alluded to it earlier, these drugs seem to be to some degree experimental, and it's kind of hit or miss. And, I mean, we've had lived through with you some experiences that were quite scary. I know they must have had James tied up in knots. Can you tell us a little bit about that? About you know, 1 month, you know, the doctor's got you trying this, and then you have to go through the bad part of finding out the medication's not working for you.
Right. So, what you're talking about, and I don't mind sharing, happened in December when they started me on a new drug. Right before Christmas, the Friday, matter of fact, it was December 21st, and they started me on a new injectable drug that I was going to take once a week. So I took the initial injection, and then on Christmas Day was admitted to the hospital for about a week with hallucinations, and they didn't know if I was going to come out of it. Initially didn't believe it was the medication, but then they ruled everything else out, and they just thought I had a psychotic break and were prepared to ship me off to a psychiatric facility when the following Friday to the day, a week to the day, I started coming out of it, and then they realized, oh, it really is the medication. Because here it is a week later from the day that I took it, and the hallucinations went away, and I woke up, and they were able to send me home 2 days later.
Yeah,
so the allergic reaction could be different, you know, for everybody. Some of the other medications I've tried caused migraine headaches every day, or made you feel like you have the flu, which was not a allergic reaction, but when you can't get out of bed every day because you're taking a drug 3 days out of the week and it causes flu-like symptoms, you have no quality of life.
No, none at all. And
Michael, if I can interject, roughly about 1 million people in the United States have AIDS. Okay, 2.1 million people in the United States have MS. And we spend a lot more money per capita as a country on AIDS when that is curable. We don't have a cure for MS. So please send in some money, you know, let's get this, because money is what creates the impetus to find the cure for this. And, you know, let us put it into perspective, please. So I don't want to politicize everything that we do, but, you know, we got somebody out here hurting, and, you know, they actually have a cure for AIDS. They don't have a cure for MS right now, so let's get one.
Well, the extent that I would politicize this too, and I told my sister that this wasn't going to be political, and it's not, but the extent that I would politicize it too is we're conservatives. We walk the walk, we talk the talk, and, you know, we believe in that thousand points of light. And this is one of those diseases that just doesn't get a lot of attention, and the attention it gets is by folks like me and you being that bring it to people's attention and put our money where our mouth is. And, you know, folks, all of our great listeners being, and we've got a lot of them, and, you know, we ask a lot of them, and we ask, man, we need you to send a few bucks to this, a few bucks to that. And I know it's a lot, and you got to make choices, and we all understand that. But if you've got an extra $5 or $10 laying around that you can spare, this is a good cause. I see it daily. My sister and my brother-in-law and my nephews and nieces live with it daily. I don't see it daily. I should rephrase that. I see it maybe weekly or every other week, but they live with it daily. And it's I got to tell you, folks, it's not a pretty picture. Sis, we want to thank you for joining us. We're up against a soft break here. But as I do want to bring in, we've got one caller on the line. I want to see if he's got anything in particular for you, sis, if you've got a second. Kurt Blackwood, are you there, brother?
Hey, I'm here, Michael.
What say you, my brother?
Oh, listen, I think we had a brief conversation about this some time back when you told us about Melissa's problem and dealing with the MS and everything. And I just, I know something about what she's dealing with. I'm not going to go into that now because this is not about me. It's about her. But she has my full sympathy. And if she'd ever like to, talk about it in any way or whatever, you know how to get me. I've got an ear for her if she needs an ear, okay?
All right, well,
I appreciate
that.
I want to wish her the best of luck.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate that.
Thanks, brother. Well, we're up against the soft break, sis. I want to thank you for joining us today. Is there anything that you want to say, anything you want to get out before we move forward?
Just that I appreciate all your support, and I love you.
We love you, too.
I love
you. I don't
you
even know. You know, I love it.
I love you, too, sis. I'll talk to you later.
All righty. Thank you all.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, Bing, we're up against the soft break here. Let's do that real quick and come out of it. And we've got about 15 minutes before we bring in our brother John LaRosa. He's going to talk to us about CPAC 13. Phone number 718-305-7176. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. Brother, you got another live read for us. We need to get back on track here.
Yeah, we definitely do. I was going to say compassionate conservatives respect pioneers. Brendan Ward has been with conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingraham, Ann Coulter, and Monica Crowley have nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central is the place to hear from real women who are real patriots. They are with us in this fight with us men. So let your voice be heard. And incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our very own BNB too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
We'll be right back.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
All right, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host Michael B. and Uncle Bing. The phone number is 718-305-7176. This is Soldiers of Patriotism on the Conservative Nation Radio Network. Bing, that was a good couple of segments there. I have to sometimes try. I choke up real easy, and more my little sister's concerned. I guess I'm like any big brother. There's not anything that I wouldn't do for.
Oh, dude, at the end there, I had a tear in my eye too. Many tears. So don't worry about it. I mean, that's the way we are, we talk, look, we're not your regular talking heads here, okay? We might go over time to get a break in and all that kind of stuff. You can't chastise us that much for doing that, okay? There's other more pressing things, in my opinion, that are pertinent to you, to me, to the world, to the country. And sometimes we just have to deal with that, so.
Absolutely. So, well, let's catch up here real quick. We've got Kurt online. John's going to be joining us after the top of the hour. John LaRosa, a man I greatly admire, has kind of mentored me. You probably all know I refer to him as Sensei. He is a co-partner of Four-Tier Strategies, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about CPAC 13 and whatever else is on Sensei's mind, as far as I'm concerned. we can all stand to learn a lot from this, but let's catch up a little bit because we didn't get to do it at the beginning of the show. How's your week? I am at some point do want to talk about a project that I'd like for you and I and Conservative Nation Radio to get behind. An artist by the name of Gary Mara, Brother Bing, M-A-R-R-A, out of Sarasota, Florida, is doing a life-size memorial statue to Chris Kyle. You've got, folks, just Google Gary Mara, Sarasota, Florida.
M-A-R-R-A, yeah.
Absolutely.
He actually is not that far from, he's in Bradenton, really. He's not that far from somebody else that I know that makes jewelry and so on. So I'm going to see if I can get them two together and get some pics or something. But, this is a great – it's just, you know, as we know, it was unfortunate, you know, that Chris Kyle got murdered back on the fifth – or what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Three Saturdays ago. Yesterday was the third Saturday.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just very unfortunate, you know, that this man, he's got shot at twice over in Afghanistan. I don't know how many people he took out in Afghanistan as a Navy SEAL sniper, and he was helping somebody over here in the States, man, and, you know, he trusted the guy, turned his back on him, and the guy shot him, you know, and it's just tragic. But, this memorial statue is just... It just looks great. I love it. I can't describe it. You know, I don't have words to describe it. The person involved in this, which is Gregory Mara, is just an unbelievable talent. And he wants to get it over to Texas, right? Is that what I'm understanding?
Absolutely. Wherever Taya Kyle wants it. And transportation's lined up. It's a full wax statue clay statue at the moment. It's got to get transported here. Transportation is lined up. And then once it gets here, it has to go to what I believe they call a cold wax state, where they'll do a wax of it. And then from that, somehow or another, it goes through the bronze foundry. They've got to find a bronze foundry. There's going to be the need for some sort of base to mount it on wherever it's determined. There's going to be a lot of information coming out on this. I talked to Gene Sweeney last, I think was Friday morning, Friday afternoon. I heard him on Bill Bennett's show. He called in. And this sounds wacky. I don't know. Some people, I guess, might call it an opportunist. I don't know. I don't think that's the case. I'm listening. I don't ever get to listen to Bill Bennett in the morning. It's except for sometimes on Friday morning, depending on when I'm going into work. I happened to turn it on, and just as I turned it on, which was right at the bottom of the hour before I'm about to go in the office, this guy comes on and he's talking about this project he's involved in with Gary Mara on this statue for Chris Kyle. And he didn't even get everything out because they were up against the hard break. While I walked in the office, Googled, sent an email to Gary Mara. He put me in touch with the guy, it turns out, was on the radio, which his name is Gene Sweeney. And I called him at lunch and said, look, Conservative Nation Radio, we've got nice listenership. I'd like to make ourselves available to you however we can. So, you know, CNR, I won't speak on behalf of Tradam, but CNR anyway, is something that I want to see us push on all the shows on our website and something that we want to get behind, not for an opportunistic standpoint, but because this artist, he belongs to an outfit called American Patriots in Art, and they're conservatives, and they do artwork that honors what you and I and our listeners value, and it's the right thing to do. I mean, you know, I guess what I'd really like to see I'd like to see the statue end up in front of an elementary school named Chris Kyle Elementary.
Oh,
but I guess that's up to Taya. You know, I don't know. But
well, yeah, I mean, that's up to them and the family and so on. I just think, you know, the thing is that this guy did this so quick. I mean, you know, I'm getting a chill just looking at, you know, the statue and so on, as far as what he did, what he put into it, the effort that it took, you know. But, yeah, it's 718-305-7176 to call in the show. And we appreciate your calls on anything that we talked about so far. We've got a hard break coming up here in a little bit, Michael. And I've got an audio from Wild Bill for America in the studio.
Do it. I got to step away for a minute. I'm going to mute myself. If you'll take us up to the hard break, I'll be right back, and then we'll bring on Sensei John LaRosa, Four Tier Strategies, come talk to us about CPAC 13, among other things. And I'll be right.
You don't have to go anywhere right now.
I actually need to step away.
Okay, man. All right. Yeah. If you guys want to listen to this, check it out. It's called. It's from Wild Bill for America. You all know him. It's called Special Kinda Stupid.
I almost feel sorry for the Republicans. Almost. They are floundering around wondering how the most incompetent and immoral president ever is back for another term, in spite of Republicans' all-out effort to make themselves look appealing to the left-wing voters. They thought they could get all the votes by being both liberal and conservative at the same time. Now that is a special kind of stupid. They worked so hard to be friendly and welcoming to the criminal trespassers, mostly from Mexico, to show just the right amount of disgust for successful businesses. They joined the media in trashing American patriots who marched for the Constitution and freedom. And now the Republicans are wondering why they don't have any friends. Yes, that is a special kind of stupid. Now, the enemies of freedom are elated and are launching attacks against our guaranteed rights. They want liberalism to replace the Constitution as the supreme law of the land. That is why Americans are rising up, and that is why we are disgusted with the wishy-washy, flip-flopping Republicans who are supposed to be defending the Constitution, not joining the enemies of the Constitution. Well, here's a Wild Bill bullet of truth for the Republican Party. If you won't defend the Constitution, we will find or form a party that will. The recent crash of the Republican Party is because they failed to be true to their conservative principles. Conservatism works every time it's tried. It gets people off welfare and supporting themselves. It fixes economies by insisting on budgets, reasonable taxes, and only smart spending. It trusts Americans with firearms and does not trust Islamic militants with our tanks and fighter jets. Conservatism stands with allies and stares down enemies, never blurring the line between them. When conservative principles were strong, we said the Pledge of Allegiance every day. Criminals were dealt with, and respect for God was important and imparted. The Washington, D.C. Republicans have traded that which works for things that sound nice, and that is pure liberalism. A special kind of stupid. This is Wild Bill for America. Thank you for watching, and God bless America again.
What do you think about that, Kurt? You back online here?
That touches my heart.
Does Mr. Bill for America not sum it up pretty much in a nutshell?
Wild Bill, I tell you, he's dead bang on. That's the only thing I can say.
Well, we're going to get him back on here on this program. Last time he was on, it was rushed. You know, I noticed he's growing his hair out. He's you know, getting his beard going on, that kind of thing. So I think he's warming up for the hunt is what I'm thinking, you know.
Heck yes, bring him back anytime, as far as I'm concerned.
That was good stuff.
We love Wild Bill here, man. I got to tell you, you know, as far as a speaker, he will come out to your group. If you're a Tea Party group, if you know anybody, he will come out to your group. He told us so. He emailed me so. Anybody that wants to get him out there, he will make a duty to get out there to speak to your group. So all you have to do is contact him. If you can't get a hold of him, then get a hold of me or Michael, and we'll get a hold of you, or get a hold of him for you.
Absolutely. Well, brother, we're up against the top of the hour here. Let's go into this. We'll come out of this, and we'll visit with John LaRosa, and then towards the end of the show, we'll have our round table. I see Boyd just called in. real quickly, Bing, I was just going to say, all American patriots were heartbroken when we heard the news that former U.S. Navy SEAL and combat sniper Chris Kyle had been killed here in Texas at the rifle range earlier this month. Of course, the circumstances were tragic. but Chris' accomplishments in defense of our nation are legendary. Since his memory must never be forgotten, sculptor Gregory Marr is now completing a life-size bronze sculpture to be placed in permanent memoriam to Chris somewhere here in Texas. So, on behalf of Being an Eye and Conservative Nation Radio, we'd like to ask for help from all of you American patriots with this fitting tribute to an American hero. Go to gregmarrstudios.net. That's Greg Marra Studios, G-R-E-G-M-A-R-R-A Studios.net, and make a generous donation or mail what you can to Gregory Marra Studios, 5005 76th Street, East Bradenton, Florida, 34203. American patriots everywhere will thank you.
Definitely.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website. TheThirdLantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, Lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Hig and Resch sent you. TheThirdLantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right. Good Sunday afternoon to you, Princes and Princesses of Patriotism. This is Michael B. at the Texas Patriot Studios Command Center, along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing Fisher from Tennessee Patriot Studios Command Center. Uncle Bing, we've got us a great guest coming up now. My sensei, a man you and I both know and respect. Folks, I got the opportunity about a year and a half, 2 years ago, when I was state social media coordinator for the Herman Cain campaign. I got the opportunity, and this was before I actually had gotten to know you, brother. But I was just getting my feet wet in the grassroots radio world due to my friend Stephen Williams, and had the chance to meet a man by the name of John LaRosa. And we chatted a bit on air for the first time, and then I emailed him or PM'd him on Facebook, I can't remember which, and a great relationship blossomed from that. This is a man that I've went to on several occasions and asked his advice on how to handle things. I've taken direction from him, gladly do so at any time. John says, we need to push this. After Herman suspended, and then, of course, John knows I went to the Santorum campaign, but after Santorum suspended, he contacted me. He said, Michael, what you going to do now? I said, well, I don't know, Sensei. I guess I'm going to work on my my radio program. I'm doing the Zach Poskovich thing. He said, good. We got to work down ticket stuff. It's exactly what I did. Brother John, Sensei John LaRosa, are you there?
I am here. I've been here for the hour, and I am going to double my usual fee.
Well, was I wrong on the telling everybody how I got to know you?
Nope, that was pretty much accurate. A lot of connection via Facebook, Twitter, a lot of private messaging back and forth. It was great. It was like a bromance.
Yeah, absolutely a bromance. Well, John, first of all, why don't you start off by telling our audience, because I've done shows with you on other networks, but never on ours, really. This is a first to have my sensei on my radio show. Tell us a little bit about you, first of all, so that everybody gets to know who John LaRosa is and the man that I respect and that Brother Bing respects.
Well, most importantly, I'm the creator of the Bald is Beautiful hashtag on Twitter. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. But I have a lifetime in the business world. Didn't really get too involved in the political side and the social media side until the Scott Brown race, where I actually created the 41st vote hashtag on Twitter that went viral. Became the, you know, really the only value proposition to for someone in Alabama or Texas or Tennessee to donate to a Northeastern moderate. We know how that turned out. Shortly after that, I was contacted by Sean Bilott to run his social media for his campaign against Barney Frank in 2010, which was fun. I had to endure Barney Frank at debates 10 times during that election, so that was good. And the only positive results of that, one, I could do a Barney Frank imitation, and two, I won the award for best social media for any GOP campaign in 2010. So that was cool. During that time period, I ran into Brad Marston as my business partner, who had been running for state rep, and we chatted back and forth and ended up creating four-tier strategies. We ended up landing the Herman Cain campaign as our first client as an entity, as four-tier, advising on social media and online fundraising. And then we got well-known through the blogger world and, mainly by getting most of the bloggers drunk at CPAC creating another hashtag called Unsustainable Bar Tab, which connected us with with many fun conservatives, the unsustainable debt / okay, we like to have fun too, we're not just boring. So, we did four or five congressional campaigns, one U.S. Senate campaign and Cain's campaign in 2012, and right now we're dealing with some PACs and now in preliminary negotiations to talk to some future candidates for 2014. So it's been quite a long ride. Prior to the Brown race, I was really posting on business and I use social media for business. Took 30 years or so in dealing with the small startups and mid-level CEOs, trying to get them to tighten up on their messaging and marketing and all their strategies on that end. And I was becoming a dinosaur because they kept asking me about Facebook, and I said, what the hell is Facebook? So I went and taught myself rather than making myself extinct on about social media. So that led to a lot of research. It led to a lot of stuff that, Michael, you've used in some of your presentations. Kind of combine the traditional marketing, sales, messaging sort of techniques with some new tools. Social media is just a tool. It's not the be-all and end-all. But that's kind of where we've come full circle. Now I'm on the show. I've made it.
I would say I made it when I met you, John. In fact, and I just dropped the link into one of the very first things, the very first thing you sent me, and you said, this is where I want you to start, Grasshopper. And it was Twitter Karma, 4 ways to say thank you. And I dropped the link on that. And as you know, John, I built a whole presentation that I've done at some tea party events around that. That I got your permission to do. And, I know that social media is just another tool, but it's a very important tool. And I think that the Cain, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but, we had our butts handed to us in 08, did we not, Sensei? I mean, in terms of social media, and they snookered us again. We'll get into that in a little bit with some other stuff aside from social media, where they went into getting some behavioral scientists and whatnot. And I mean, it really went crazy what the left did. But we continue to find ourselves in the rears on the right. And one of those, in at least 08, was in the realm of social media. And that's something that you've pounded into me and other folks that look to you for your expertise in what we do.
Well, I think the right has really caught up to the left on the social media
meaning, you know, if you define it as just the Facebook and Twitter and the groups and the chats and the blog talk radios and all the stuff that we're doing kind of daily, I don't think they've caught up on in terms of the background, really high-end tech stuff and behavioral studies and information and data that the left uses. And that they have the benefit of having Obama bundlers at Facebook, Twitter, Google, and LinkedIn. They're all Obama bundlers. So I have a feeling there may be some data sharing here. But the GOP needs to get, catch up quite a bit on the tech side. Of the social media side and the preaching of the choir that we do every day, I think we're really catching up with them. You see the liberals try to do a hashtag on Twitter and it just immediately gets destroyed by conservatives. We just take it over. We're doing much better on the standard social media stuff, but the high-end stuff, we got a long way to go. And in part because a lot of the Silicon Valley tech pros are liberals. working for Obama and the left and the DNC. So we, Brad Marston and I have opened up to, increasing our scope of services to include technology, and we're actually very tight with the folks from NationBuilder, certified architects, and they're former Obama people. And they have a platform that's more powerful than most of the platforms we have for our candidates out there. Most candidates have like a static web page. This has a lot more functionality in it. So we're kind of pushing that a little bit on our future clients. We've done it for Jeff Simone. We did some for Herman Cain. We created a realleader.com for him on NationBuilder. So there are a lot of new things that are coming out. It still doesn't even scratch the surface to what the Dems can do on their side because of their access to tons of data, and behavioral stuff, not just not just names and lists, which are important, but who votes what way and why, and what do they like, and what's going to influence them. That sort of stuff, the GOP, I think, is far behind. They're going to talk about that at CPAC in one of the panels, but I still think they have a long way to go.
Well, and speaking of CPAC 13, and that was the main reason that I asked you, Bing and I asked you to be on today, is because we are heading into CPAC 13, and we're coming up close onto a soft break. But just before we go into the soft break, John, just give us the basic paragraph or so that we need to know, that we need to digest while we take our soft break and come out of our soft break and start talking about CPAC 13. What do we need? I noticed on Twitter the other night that I say again, sir?
Spring break for drunken conservatives. Well, you wanted a script description before the break. I'll talk about
more. Well, is that another hashtag? I see that one coming
up. Unsustainable bar tap covers it.
I was noticing on Twitter, was it last night or maybe the night before, in which I applaud, that CPAC has said no to GoProud.
Yeah, there's a longer story behind that. It's not just because they're GoProud. There's a bigger story. I'd rather not get into it too much because I want to get into the details of it, but there's more to the story than you hear just because there are personalities involved. There's a lot of issues from the past couple of years that may have prompted that. And, personally, I don't care who goes to CPAC. I mean, I go for networking. I go to meet other vendors. And I go, frankly, to get away from my keyboard for a couple of days.
Yeah, there you go.
Relax with like-minded friends. So I don't want to get too much into that one, but GeoCloud was not allowed to do a booth or an exhibition booth over the last couple of years, and they are not allowed to do one this year either. So,
Well, John, hang tight, Sensei. We need to do it. We're up against a soft break here. Brother
okay.
Bing, do you got us a live read? We'll do this soft break, come out of it, and we'll get into some meat and bones with Sensei.
If you got the Chatham live read, man, if you could do that. I don't have it right here in front of me. I don't know where it went.
Well,
it went in the bit bucket. If not, I'll do another one.
Let's see here. I don't have it in front of me, my brother. Other than to
all
say
right.
TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is the place to be.
Yeah. Come on over. We won't bite.
All right. Hang on 1 second. Let's do this.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Course. Who's asking?
I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
What's up?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like, consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
All right, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism on the Conservative Nation Radio. I am Michael B., along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing. Phone number 718-305-7176. You can find us at conservativenationradio.org, along with our partners, Traditional American Movement, at traditionalamericanmovement.com. We are very fortunate today to have my sensei on with us, John LaRosa, who is just going to talk, we're going to talk some CPAC 13. We've already spoken a little bit about the importance of social media and the conservative movement and the grassroots movement catching up on that. So, Brother Bing, let's bring John back in here. John, tell us tell us a little bit about your involvement with CPAC 13, getting down there, networking. I was looking at the website the other day. There's some Marco Rubio speaking, Kelly Ayotte, Arthur Davis is speaking. I mean, it really looks like it's going to be a good CPAC 13 this year.
Well, they have a great list of speakers, and it combines what you would consider kind of hardcore conservatives with some more moderate conservatives. The one speech I'm not going to miss is Ted Cruz, because I think he's terrific. And I went to the National Review Institute Summit and caught pretty much every speech at that down in D.C. a couple weeks ago, and Ted Cruz, head and shoulders, was above everybody else because he really does deliver a message well. And he talks not about the 1% or the 47% or the 53%, but the 100%. And I think that's the message that needs to get across. You know, growth is good. Prosperity is good for everyone. We don't need to get demonized and typecast into you're only for this group or that group. No, we're for America. And I think he gets that message across better than some of the other folks that might tie into maybe one or two issues. He gets the big picture better than anyone else I've seen. But there are some great speakers, Rubio, Ryan, Tim Scott, Alan West. You know, we do have people of color in the party. It would never be shown on national television because they just only focus on the white, old white guy speakers. We have great Hispanic speakers. We have women speaking, Kelly Ayotte. You go through the whole list at CPAC.org. You can see a great list of speakers. Dana Lash, Katie Pavlich, from the blogger world. We have some really good folks, and I don't represent CPAC, I just go for it, I've been going the last few years, I think it's a terrific place to go network, network with other vendors, in my case, network with the bloggers, which is really important to get our message out from what we're doing online. And then just hang out with some like-minded folks that really and kind of hash out the messaging that not only for the choir but for, you know, independents and unenrolled and undecided voters. Why do we vote for your guys, or your people, as opposed to Obama and his people? Well, there's a very clear difference, and I think this helps people kind of hash out exactly what is compelling about being a conservative. And so, yes, there's a lot of preaching to the choir internally, but it's a fun preaching to the choir, and it's a relaxed atmosphere, and I think definitely worth going. A lot of people whining on Twitter about, oh, CPAC isn't what it used to be, blah, blah, blah. It is what you make of it. Just like any conference, it's what you make of it. So I think it's definitely worth going if people are kind of undecided about whether to go or not. You know, financially, I can understand not going, you know, to the funder type. But if you have the funds, it's definitely, I think it's the place to be. If you're going to pick one conference every year, it's the place to be.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be looking to head to it myself next year. That's for sure, because it does look like a great place to network and do exactly what you're talking about. You know, you were talking about networking as far as bloggers are concerned. Of course, you know, I know because I'm a member of it, but you on Facebook you have a what we call conservative bloggers.
Yes, that was actually a former Kane group. There were pro Kane bloggers, and when Herman suspended his campaign, I repurposed it to say, why don't we just have like a blogger's row or a hangout area, you know, separate from Twitter, where bloggers can just come in, dump their links, we can share good links, you know, maybe they can get to know each other and start cross-posting to build traffic to their sites. And ultimately, kits equals money for bloggers. So you really want to, you know, free of charge offer kind of a service where they can kind of amplify their message a little bit and also make real-life friends.
Absolutely. And you don't have to necessarily be a blogger to request to be a part of that page, because if you're someone that likes to read good blogs, this is really the page that someone needs to know about, because some of the top names that run in our circles, John, post on that page.
Yeah, we've got I just went to the site. There are 142 blogger members. And a vast majority of them are bloggers.
Exactly. And, I mean, Bing and I are not exactly bloggers, but we're what I call spoken word bloggers. So my posts generally deal with the radio world, but the vast majority, other than me and maybe one other person, the vast majority, I mean, you're going to see some fantastic posts for some really great reading.
It's great information. I think that what people forget is the mainstream media doesn't really do much investigative reporting, and they certainly don't want to do any investigative reporting that embarrasses Barack Obama or any of the progressive Democrats. So we actually have a group of people, some of whom are just unemployed patriots, who are working their tail off reading bills. To expose what's in the healthcare law, 2,700 pages. Who read that? Well, the people that read it are people like me and the people, bloggers, who want to say, okay, what's really in this bill? And they say, oh, my God, look at this section. You know, that's what you'll find in there. And the lower-level bloggers that do all the work usually get posted by the upper-level bloggers who just see their post and say, wow, this is amazing, let me post that. And then the mainstream media will ignore their posts, but something like Fox News follows the top blogger. So you get, you get from Joe Schmo, I just started my blog, but look at this great research I did. And that gets funneled, that link gets funneled to like a Stacey McCain, theothermccain.com. He posts it and then sends the link to Michelle Malkin. And Malkin posts it and then talks about it on Fox News. There's a ton of stuff from Acorn to everything else that would never have come to the surface without the Breitbarts in the world and without the, you know, hardworking bloggers who are generally making next to nothing for doing this, but they're doing it because they care about their country. So we got to support them somehow.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and speaking about bloggers, real quickly, Bing, and then I'll sit back and let you jump in here, brother. But even with social media, I mean, Sensei, I know for a fact we've pushed the narrative even on the mainstream media on Twitter. I mean, literally forced them to report on things they didn't want to report on. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's some, certainly not enough. I mean, I've got my friend Chip Jones, if you go on Twitter, at CWJonesIII, has been doing a whole series on Benghazi. And the questions he is asking have not been asked by the mainstream media. And the mainstream media is basically ignoring Benghazi, saying, well, there are only four people killed. You know, that's a dangerous part of the world. Why do you want to pick on Hillary and the president? Well, there's a real reason why we should be doing that. And Chip has done an unbelievable work on, he's probably got about 10 posts up with some serious hardcore research, and he's a veteran, Army vet. And he looks at it from a whole different perspective, not just the cover-up, which was obvious. They've already been busted for lying about the stupid video. It's like it's the policy that led to everything. It led to the death. And what they're doing in terms of gun running that makes Fast and Furious look like a joke. I mean, we're arming our enemies. And he has some serious work that he's done. So why is Chip Jones not getting the play? Because he hasn't got it up to the top level of the blogosphere yet that Fox News and other outlets actually pay attention to. But
well, the thing is,
you'd be a Gitmo if it got that far, but you know.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it bugs me is that, okay, it seems like we're always trying to catch up with the media. They're always one step ahead, which, you know, I guess they, you know, I can relate to that because they aren't sleeping in the same bed with the president and with this administration. Now, how do we thwart that? How do we not just thwart it? Okay, I'm tired of thwarting it. I'm wanting to overcome that, and that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, I wish there were a quick way to do that.
I know there isn't, but
yeah. So it's just we need more people, not just pushing with ourselves, but in between our you know, I have the preaching to the choir thing, which is great because it inspires people to act and post things on Facebook and Twitter and blog and all that. But we've got to get that next level where it gets to we are either loud enough, angry enough, or persistent enough where it gets to the point where Michael was saying they can't help, they have to write about it. You know,
they have to answer to it, yeah.
They answer, and I don't think we've hit them hard enough. I mean, I have other people that say, you know, we should just boycott all the advertisers in mainstream media and put them out of business. It's like, well, there are so many advertisers we wouldn't be buying anything. So, you know, is that the way to go? I mean, there are all sorts of thoughts on how do you get through to them. But I just think we've got to be persistent and we've got to recruit more people to do what we're doing so it's not just coming from the same 100 bloggers. Maybe there's 1,000 parts out there.
Well, we're up against a hard break here, but I want to just drop a couple words on you here real quick to think about during the break, I've been meaning to ask you about this, Sensei, and I want to get your input on it. But the words are Karl Rove, his pack, and what I perceive as establishment Republicans are going to start, like Karl Rove, are going to start taking active punitive measures against folks like you and I.
I'll give you a hint on my feelings on Karl Rove. He's not allowed to use my bald is beautiful hashtag.
I don't blame you.
so glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, people do say I'm crazy, as they do say about Uncle Bing. Yeah, buddy. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B. and Uncle Bing. We do have a very good friend of ours, my sensei, John LaRosa, who's talking to us of CPAC 13, grassroots movement, among other things. By the way, the phone number is 718-305-7176, and you can find us at conservativenationradio.org, along with our partner's website, traditionalamericanmovement.com. Going into the bottom heartbreak, I went out asking John LaRosa to think about Karl Rove, his pack, and his war against us. That is, us that do this, that do Conservative Nation Radio, Sensei, our circle. And Sensei, your answer was he's not allowed to use your pound bald is beautiful hashtag. Is that correct?
Yes, that's it. Carville are now in the same category with me. They're not allowed to use like all those beautiful hashtags.
I love it. Well, and, you know, I actually don't mind listening to – I like to listen to Carville just simply because he keeps me cracking up. I'll never forget what was 91 or 92 when he says, I know what you get when you drag a $100 bill through a mobile home park. Been there, done that, had gumbo with them people.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't even need to drink coffee when you wake up in the morning. All you need to do is switch on him, you know.
Exactly. But Karl Rove, I'm quite disappointed in
Foghorn Leghorn with Tourette's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am really put out. You know, I live here in Texas with him, and I've been put out with him for years. I read a book not too long ago by our former labor workforce commissioner, Tom Palkin. And he talks about what the Bush family, and look, I appreciate what the Bushes have done to on some things. In other areas, I'm not. One of them was destroying the Reagan conservative movement, and Karl Rove was a big part of that with Wolfowitz and all that whole neocon party of people. I'm really, really upset, Sensei, with the direction and the tone he's taking against you and I and all of our friends. I mean, these people are out to get us. Am I putting on my tinfoil hat, Sensei? Do I need to back off a little bit or what?
Well, I'm not a Rove fan. Haven't been. I just dropped into your chat room a post I did on Facebook called Rhino versus Moderate Republican. And the reason I did this, I had Rove in mind. What he is doing is actually helping the left to demonize any conservatives. He came on Fox News today and basically kind of took a little bit, backtracked a little on what he's attempting to do. We want to win and we want to vet our candidates and we know we give money to good candidates is basically what he's backtracking to. But what he's really doing is using some of the language of the left to demonize anybody that might be a little bit to the right of what he finds himself comfortable with. And that, to me, reeks of Rhino. So I actually put the Rhino versus Moderate Republican link into your chat room. I don't know if you want to take a look at it. It's a little bit long, but it actually gives a little wiggle room to people that might cross over once in a while. on a certain vote we might not agree with. We don't have to just shoot them. But there are other folks that are actually working counterproductively. And those folks are the ones that are very dangerous. I think Rove is getting very close to the Rhino category, and Bill Kristol, Rove, folks along those lines that are just establishment, hardcore establishment folks that give us the Romneys that are afraid to stand up for conservatism and ultimately lose.
Well, John, let's not sugarcoat this too much. I mean, I know you're trying not to, but the thing is that Karl Rove and Bill Kristol, I mean, for a long time have not been very good friends of the Tea Party movement at all. They don't like us. And so I'm trying to figure out here, are they being paid? Are they working for the opposite side? Because, look, these people up here, I really don't have respect for a lot of them, okay? That's just me. But I'm trying to figure out, are they being paid by the other side? Do you think?
Well,
what's your opinion?
I don't have access to their checking accounts. I think the effect of what they're doing is helping the other side. It's helping the Dems. Now, if they only focused on, okay, let's just vet candidates a little bit better so that we don't find out they're an axe murderer or prone to, like, major gaffes, yeah, okay, but you can do that with every candidate. If they're saying that the only acceptable Republican candidate has to be Mitt-like, I have a major problem with that.
Yeah, so basically they're elitist,
or whatever. I just don't have enough info to answer that. But what I can say is the effect of what they're doing is actually making the Democratic Party's case for them, and that's got to stop.
Well, you know, all of these people, Karl Rove, Bill Kristol, all of these Wolfowitz, all these guys, they all ran in the same circles, and I've not looked at them in years, but years ago, and I just dropped the link in the chat room for it. Look at Project for a New American Century. I mean, this was Peanut. This is the neocon think tank that you know, Sensei, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're essentially big spending Republicans. I mean, there's really no difference between them and, as far as I'm concerned, what the left thinks.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I would just say that I'm not a big Bill Kristol fan. I'm not a real fan, and I'm not a fan of folks that just want to be Democrat-like or just slightly different than Democrats, hoping upon hope. I mean, if you just give them the benefit of the doubt on their intention, you know, just because we don't know if they're getting paid by the left to split. Right?
Boy, that's scary to say.
I just don't think that their ideas make any sense for the country. I just don't think their ideas will work for election winning. I just don't think that they're very helpful. I think it's a time for change, for a whole new, fresh outlook. You can call it, I'm involved in Tea Party groups. You can call it whatever you want. How about some common sense, you know?
Well, Sensei, there's some...
There's a lot of that in Washington right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that get paid a lot of money because they know a lot of the right people.
There's some bitter people out there.
Because it's a big name and a big mailing list. That's part of the problem. You know,
I happened to be on a thread last night, Sensei. A friend of mine had posted that she didn't understand Texas's fascination with Rick Santorum. Now, and I'm not going to go into the whole story there, but I responded kindly and politely because she's a friend of mine and she's entitled to her opinion. And she, after she posted it, she really kind of stayed out of it because it brought out the people that are really have been snowballed, and they hold people like me who got active after Herman Cain dropped out for allowing Obama to win by supporting Rick Santorum. In this particular case, it was instead of Rick Perry. Now, look, I love my governor. Rick Perry's a great governor. Has he done a few things that I disagree with? Oh, absolutely. The Gardasil Initiative and the Trans-Texas Corridor. Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, I mean, these people on our side, they can. I mean, I had some really vile trash thrown at me last night, accusing me of being the reason that Obama won. Now, these are people that don't even, other than post on Facebook, and I don't mean to toot my horn here, Sensei, but they haven't walked nearly the miles I've walked in neighborhoods.
Got skin in the game, Michael. You know what I mean? They don't have skin in the game.
Yeah, no skin in the game, and everybody is an amateur pundit. I have candidate friends who are like, if one more person comes up to me and said, you should have done X, you would have won, but you screwed up, like they know, for sure. So there's a lot of amateur pundits out there on Facebook and Twitter who are sure they're right, and they have not necessarily a lot of information backing them up on their statements.
No, none whatsoever. Well, hey, brother Bing, let's bring in some callers here and see if they've got questions for John or get their thoughts and mix them in here. We're down to about the last 20 minutes of the show.
In Santa Marta, heckled in the chat room.
Say again, Sensei.
And I'm already getting heckled in the chat room by my business partner.
Is Marston in there? I haven't been looking at the chat.
Yeah, Brad's in there. Yeah.
Let's bring in Sensei Marston. Yeah, look, there's two men that have taught me a lot, and you got to love them both, and that's John LaRosa and Brad Marston. Brother Kurt, you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Well, jump on in here.
Well, hey, listen, I don't really have anything on my head to jump in with right at the moment here. I've been actually quite fascinated with the things that Mr. LaRosa has been saying there. I was particularly glad to get that he posted that link about five reasons why politicians don't get social media. As a matter of fact, I've already forwarded on to a friend of mine. Do you remember our brief conversation of Friday about another radio show? This is the guy that I sent it to, and I think he'll find it interesting. And it's also somewhat encouraging to hear the things that he said about, you know, more people need to get in the game, and I think that's exactly right. And, you know, if you haven't got any skin in the game, well, you know what I'm thinking, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, John.
I wrote that piece a long time ago, and it really hasn't changed too much. In the piece, I talk about the politicians basically wanting to do outbound posts. And they want to say, here I am in a corner waving, and here I am at this event, and here I am, give me money. That's really not what social media is all about, and most people don't get it because they haven't studied social media best practices or one-on-one level stuff, whether it's for business or politics, and there's a lot of ways it crosses over. So if we can get the candidates off Facebook and Twitter and let the professionals do their thing, I think we'd be better.
Well, yeah, and one thing too, and Michael, I don't know, we got a break coming up, I guess. But,
yeah,
I wanted to ask John, if you could think about, if you have to have a viable product for market in order to sell it. And I'd like to ask you, when we come back here, do you think that we actually have viable products in the GOP?
Okay.
You got a live read for us, Bing?
Yeah, I do. And I tell you what, Chris Ricketts on the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. Now, Chris isn't afraid to wave the banner of Christianity in a world becoming hostile to biblical principles. Actually, former Marines aren't afraid of too much of anything, are they? But join Chris to talk about Christianity, the Holy Bible, and God's plan for mankind's salvation. And he might also explain his plan to teach the Swiss Guards a thing or two. The Warrior Catholic Show with Chris Ricketts, Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservative for real conservatives.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with Brie? Everybody likes Brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right, good Sunday afternoon to you. We're down to the last 15 minutes of Soldiers of Patriotism. We want to thank you all for joining us this afternoon. If you want to try to get in a phone call, do so now, 718-305-7176. We are speaking with my sensei, John LaRosa of Four Tier Strategies, co-partner, along with Brad Marston, another sensei who's in the chat room with us. Brad, call in if you'd like, my brother. Uncle Bing Fisher is with me, of course, as he is every Sunday. And we've had a really good show today, Bing. Let's get back into it with John and finish up this last 15 minutes. And let's try to pull in. So we've got Boyd on hold, and we've just spoken to Kurt. And the brother Danny Schaus is on the line from Kentucky. So let's get it going.
Yeah, sounds good to me, man. I wanted to get into this viable product thing with John. Who are you seeing come up and coming? I mean, for the GOP, anybody?
Maybe Dr. Carson, Sensei.
Well, I think we're after the debacle of 2012. I think we're really striving to find someone to believe in. And that word believe is really important because, not to take another shot at Mitt, but Brad and I were the only two mass consultants that went straight to Herman Cain instead of going to Mitt. But what was there to believe in about Mitt when you really think about it? What inspired you? What made you believe? So Dr. Carson came out and did something that nobody's really ever done and told Obama to his face he was going the wrong direction, taking the country in the wrong direction. That was pretty amazing, and we're really in need of someone to believe in, and he kind of filled that that void temporarily. But I'd caution everybody. I don't know much about Dr. Carson. He sounds terrific, but you know, people are doing draft for Carson for president stuff, and we got to be careful about who we jump on en masse. Until we start vetting people. And we've got a lot of work before 2016. We're going to have a lot of up-and-coming people. We're going to have a lot of good conservatives kind of come to the forefront. Dr. Carson could be one of them. I don't even know if he's interested in president. But we have other people up-and-coming, the Cruises, the Rubios, you go through a whole list of people that are new, exciting, and compelling as speakers. That's something that Mitt didn't have. It never had, really. But I'm excited about the crop people that are coming out. And as the Cruises of the world have success, there'll be more people inspired to be the next Cruise. And so I'm optimistic long term. But short term, sure, I love Dr. Carson. He's terrific. I just don't know if I'm ready to jump on 2016. We've got all these downline races. We talked about that. Your local races. We got to build a farm team, right? We've got to get people in local office from school boards up, all the way to the presidency. And so we got work to do in 2013 in some local elections. There's a special election in Massachusetts for Senate.
There's, you know, there's all sorts of judges up for re-election. So we're going to work at every level, not just say, okay, here's the savior of the party. So the product, the question about product is, yeah, we got to make the product good at all levels of the system so that when someone wants to run for Congress, it's not just some guy that decided, hey, I think I'll run for Congress. He has some name ID, some organization behind him, maybe a little money in the bank, all the basics, you know, a fundraising chairperson, a communications person, access to good quality networks of people that will help him before he even decides he's going to announce. So
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of work to do on that lower level. I'm not big on there. Oh, here's the one savior. You know, I don't think Ronald Reagan's walking through the door. So I think we've got to build from the ground up and the grassroots level and get everybody involved at a local level, and even if that means it's the first time they ever went and collected signatures, nomination papers, signatures for someone, get them involved and get them excited that they're helping out on a grassroots rather than just posting on Facebook.
Well, let me put this to you, okay? It's not so much, I guess, it is the product. It is the product of the message of what you're trying to deliver, okay? The candidate is their own person. But when you got a candidate that's very qualified, highly qualified, and you've got the party that is actually against them, turning them away, then how do we get that message out there? I mean, how do people actually sit there and see any kind of focus or any kind of focal point as far as what they're going to do with the next election? I don't care if it's dog catcher. If the dog catcher around here is somebody that's very astute, knows his job, but you got the person or the people involved that he's running with that don't want him in power, then it's very hard to sit there and try to circumvent that.
It is, and we've got kind of a circular firing squad going around in the GOP. You know, you're not conservative enough, you're this, you're that, and then party leaders who are, in some instances, fall into my rhino category where they just don't want anyone that stands up for constitutional principles and will be willing to take on the media and will be willing to reject false premises. So, I mean, it's a really hard thing when you're kind of working against your own. But that's got to stop somehow. So people got to come together and say, what are the core principles that we agree on? And we're not going to get in each other's way and destroy each other before we even get to the general election. You know, have some healthy debate, let the voters decide who's going to win the primary, and then support the primary candidate that's going against the, you know, what I call socialists now, on the far left.
You know,
and more in common with you know, kind of the moderates of the party than we do with progressives.
I would love it if that's how things went since. Just speaking from my own personal experience, you know, we'll go back to the presidential to the primaries. You know, Texas, we were originally, because of redistricting, for those of you that don't know, in the years that end in zero, I think in most states, but most definitely here in Texas, that's the year you want your party to be in charge of the House, because that's when redistricting happens every 10 years, years that end in zero. So we had our typical redistricting war down here. Well, we were scheduled to have our primary since prior to April 1st. Which would have made us a proportional, you know, by the new rules that Chairman Steele had, would have made us proportional. Well, because of redistricting and everything, it took our primary beyond that March 31st deadline.
Right.
By that point in the primary, Rick Santorum was 10 or 11 states up. I mean, he was a contender to Mitt Romney. And I maintained this. I mean, you can look at anybody can Google it. You can find out. Had Texas been winner take all, which Steve Monasteri, our state GOP chairman, tried to get us back to, since we fell after that March 31st. We'd always been winner take all. We wanted to go back to winner take all. We fell outside of the rules that Chairman Steele had instituted. And the national GOP said, if you do that, we're gonna They threatened us with our 155 delegates. Well, in the GOP primary, Texas is the cash. I mean, you want that 155 delegates.
Right.
And they threatened our 155 delegates. Had we went winner take all, me and the other state leaders of the Santorum grassroots campaign and Texas would have delivered Texas to Rick Santorum, and we would have taken the nomination. Would we have beaten Obama? I don't know. I doubt it. But I don't. Aside from that, I'm talking about just our primary. Our national leaders, they wanted Mitt Romney. They wanted him ever since you and I were on Herman Cain, Sensei.
Right.
And they screwed us. They screwed us. They screwed Texans. They threw Texans under the bus.
Well, to quote Herman Cain, stupid people are ruining America.
Yeah, it was
bad product and a bad market to sell it in. So,
hey, real quick, since I'm sorry to interrupt here, I just need we've got Duke Brooks on. I need to bring him in real quick and give him an opportunity to interject on this and tell us what he's got going on. So, Duke, you there?
Yes, I am, Michael. How are you today?
We're doing terrific.
Oh, well, he addressed you. He didn't address me.
Oh, Ben,
listen,
it's nothing personal, my buddy. It's nothing personal. I just can't see either one of you. So, you know, out of sight, out of mind or something like that. I really don't know. But this is going to be coming directly from the desk of the Padishah Emperor of the Known Universe on Monday night, tomorrow night. The occasional references to obscure films, although I think, Michael, you and I both really love the 1984 David Lynch movie Dune, based on the Frank Herbert novel, loosely based
the
on
sleeper
the Frank
has
Herbert
awoken
novel. This absolutely, you bet. Let's not get started on that one. However, you know, I've been thinking all weekend about the fact that this country has been for over 200 years a truly exceptional country. It is exceptional in its resources, exceptional in its political structure, its guarantees of civil and constitutional freedoms, its economic opportunity. It is exceptional in every single way, and that is what makes America the greatest nation state that has ever existed in the history of mankind. And I, for one, am absolutely fed up with people like our president and his Mao-worshipping leftist buddies in Washington, D.C., who don't like the fact that we are exceptional. So they are attacking it on the basis of, number one, constantly saying, no, we're not exceptional, and number two, obviously doing things to reduce our competitive edge, bring us more in line with the kind of third world dictatorships that they admire so much. And I thought that we all might talk about that a little bit tomorrow night on Radio Free America at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central at conservativenationradio.org. And I hope that everyone will be able to join me.
Well, Duke, thank you so much. And I hope all of our listeners will tune in. It is a fantastic show. Duke, we'll talk to you in a little bit. Sensei, we are running down to the end of the show here. Folks that are on the line holding to talk, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to get to you today. I do apologize. You know that Bing and I don't like to do that. I want to give Sensei some final closing, a minute or so for final closing remarks, and we're going to say good Sunday to everybody.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. I'll come on anytime you'd like. I really want to give a shout out to your sister for fighting MS, and I was glad I sat through that first hour, and I actually shot it to the link to a couple people who I know have MS, and they really appreciated it. So, you know, just wanted to throw that out there. We're doing,
thanks, Sensei.
Doing, going to be helping Fingers Beloy on Brodigan and the people at FTR Radio on at CPAC to raise a little bit of money for cancer. It's the Cancer Sucks 2 fundraiser, so we're going to help out with that. So I'm always big on trying to help out with charities whenever possible, and especially when it affects friends of mine. So
I just want to throw that out, and thank you again for having me on.
Sensei, you know, Bing and I are at your disposal. Shoot me a PM on the cancer thing, and, you know, we'll put it out as well.
Yep. Cancer sucks too, hashtag on Twitter. You'll start seeing it right after the 1st of March.
All right. Thanks a lot, Sensei.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
We'll talk to you later. Bing, we are out of time, brother.
I see that, man.
I'll talk to you later, my brother. Thank you all for joining us today. God bless you all.
Soldiers of Patriotism.